another episode of Daughters of Mormonism. I'm your host, Sybil. Today's podcast is a special edition because it's Mother's Day today, and I found that I've been thinking about it so much that I wanted to give my talk for Mother's Day. Motherhood is much talked of in the Mormon Church, to the point that childless women in the church often feel that they have no place. Motherhood is somehow supposed to be the balance for priesthood. It seems that motherhood should be the balance for fatherhood, but no, in the church it's set up as the balance for priesthood, which makes me wonder if maybe, just maybe, priestesshood is the balance for fatherhood. You never know. So Mormon motherhood is laid out to be so all-encompassing that those who have children are encouraged to lose themselves in the role of mother. If you run a search for motherhood on LDS.org, you will find talk after talk after talk that all enshrine the role. They really do put it up on a pedestal. It's interesting because the mothers aren't seen as people in these talks. Instead, they're seen as the angels of the hearth, as though we're still living out the Victorian or 1950s eras where the women are these beneficent, smiling, gentle beings who can make the world be a perfect place, but they don't have any actual needs or thoughts or feelings of their own. All they do is go about making everyone else all better. And somehow it seems that the rationalization is if we offer enough praise, it's acceptable to forget that these women are human beings, that mothers aren't mothers, they're women, they're humans. Sue Monk Kidd has written of what she calls the many-breasted mother, which she says has been given as a blueprint for women today. And I think this is especially true for women in Mormonism. And I want to read a little bit of what she says. She says, "The many-breasted mother is one of the most revered. The image came to me as I watched a peculiar sight on the television news. An overwhelmed mother dog nursing a small litter of newborn kittens along with her own brood of pups. The kittens had been brought to her when their mother died. The mother dog lay sprawled on her side, overrun with mouths, some that naturally belonged to her and some that didn't. Poor thing, all she seems to do all day long is nurse something," said the owner. Women have been encouraged to embrace the all-nurturing, many-breasted role of womanhood as the jewel in the female crown. And while mothering can be a deeply beautiful role, it can also become distorted by self-negation. The many-breasted mother ends up caring for an array of children, including projects, needs, groups, and persons that may not even belong at her breast. I remember a verse I scrawled once when my children were small and I was feeling engulfed by the role of mother. Priestess of dutiful sacrament, you knead your soul into bread. You serve it on a silver tray, bright morsels for your family to eat. Aren't you hungry too? Even as my children grew and became teens, many times my role as nurturer allowed the very essence of my life to be overrun and eaten away. Sadly, I know women who keep doing this even after their children have grown and left home. When my many-breasted mother really kicked in, I even found myself taking care of my husband. I would be sure he ate well, encourage him to exercise, make sure he had a shirt ironed for his meeting, table my issues to soothe his bad mood. Women have been trained to be deeply relational creatures with permeable boundaries, which makes us vulnerable to the needs of others. This permeability, this compelling need to connect, is one of our greatest gifts. But without balance, it can mean living out the role of the servant who nurtures at the cost of herself. Referring to this feminine script in her essay, Professions for Women, Virginia Woolf describes the syndrome and offers a drastic remedy. She was intensely sympathetic. She was immensely charming. She was utterly unselfish. She excelled in the difficult arts of family life. She sacrificed herself daily. If there was chicken, she took the leg. If there was a draft, she sat in it. In short, she was so constituted that she never had a mind or wish of her own, but preferred to sympathize always with the minds and wishes of others. I did my best to kill her. My excuse, if I were to be had up in a court of law, would be that I acted in self-defense. Had I not killed her, she would have killed me. At the very least, we need to disempower this part of ourselves, to relieve ourselves of the internal drive to forfeit our souls as food for others. I find this a very powerful passage from The Dance of the Dissident Daughter. As I grew up, I participated in this idea of being the mother who gives and gives and gives, because I was the oldest daughter. And so I, alongside my mother, gave and gave to all of my younger brothers and sisters. and watched my mother give me the example of how you give away yourself over and over and over at the expense of yourself so that you can help the others. I even was called the second mother. That was my nickname very often. I was the second mother, and I was a child. But because I was a female child, I was expected to embody this already and give and give. Now, I want to talk a little bit about my mother just for a moment. I've been watching her my entire life, ever since I was a little tiny girl. And now I'm a grown woman moving along on my own journey. And as I look back, I see that my mother is one who has always tried to do her best. She always tried to live exactly what the church was telling her to do, to be the mother who gave and gave to her children, and to try to make us do the right thing and control our decisions so that we could be happy, could be saved, could be righteous, could be whole. And now, as she's progressed further on her journey, she's still trying to do her best. And this time, her best means that she's trying to let go and trust us as her children, who are now all adults, to live our lives. Seeing her example of motherhood shows me very clearly that there is no such thing as this angel of the hearth mother we hear about so often from the pulpit. My mother gave every piece of herself to us as we were growing up, and she was struggling through her own issues, often unable even to look at her issues because she was so fully given to us. She held us in her body as we grew from a handful of cells into a human being, and she nursed us at her breast to give us a warm connection to life as we began. She gave us her version of truth and encouraged us to be good people, but she was imperfect because she's human. Mother's Day, I think, for many mothers, is a very lonely time where they feel their inadequacies the most sharply because they hear over and over all of this praise for a motherhood that they don't feel they could ever achieve. I want to say that I honor my mother for her efforts, for her mistakes, for her successes, and for how she's now awakening to herself. I honor her for the being that she is, for her whole human female self. She doesn't need to be some perfect angel of the hearth mother for me to love her. And indeed, the more human she becomes, the more I feel I gain from her. I'd also like to talk a little bit about our divine mothers who gave us life in different ways. First, our Mother Earth. She is a very patient mother. Our poor Mother Earth, no matter how we pollute her, destroy her, deplete her, exploit her, she still gives us space to live and food to eat. It's fitting that Mother's Day comes in the warmth of spring, when the earth is coming alive. It's like she's expressing her joy at living, even if she feels also to weep at the pain caused by the children who are living on her. Second, our Mother Eve. Through her choice, her blood, her labor, we were brought into the world. Part of the reason I know for sure that she is definitely one of our divine mothers is because she is so railed against. Patriarchy has despised this woman. If any woman has ever been so maligned, it is our Mother Eve. She's been blamed for all the evil in the world. There was a time where the Catholic Church debated whether women had souls because we were Eve. You know, we were the prostitute women, the evil, wicked souls. And why is she so blamed? Because she was brave enough to move forward, to reach forth her hand and take that fruit. She's the gatekeeper to enter this world, opening the way with her choice, with her womb, with her blood. I think that the scripture verse ought to say, Eve fell that all might be, and we are that we might have joy. And then our mother in heaven, she who is so rarely spoken of, we have a hymn that speaks of her and to her. It's now listed in our books as O My Father, but originally the title was Invocation, or To the Eternal Father and Mother. In other words, it was a prayer to both the mother and the father. The last two verses speak particularly of her. The third verse says, I had learned to call thee Father through thy Spirit from on high, but until the key of knowledge was restored, I knew not why. In the heavens are parents single? No. The thought makes reason stare. Truth is reason. Truth eternal tells me I've a mother there. The fourth verse, when I leave this frail existence, when I lay this mortal by, Father, Mother, may I meet you in your royal courts on high. Then at length, when I've completed all you sent me forth to do, with your mutual approbation, let me come and dwell with you. This is such a beautiful gesture. It's amazing to have a hymn showing us a prayer being prayed to her. She's there. She's always been there. I know her daughters are yearning for her, and I believe she is yearning for us as well. There's a blog that takes its title from the lyrics of Eliza Arsenault's song, and the title of the blog is With Your Mutual Approbation. Heather Farley, who runs the blog, has done a marvelous job of bringing our mother into scripture and song and teaching. It's wonderful to see her listed in those different spaces. I invite you to go and take a look at that. It's a beautiful project. So here on this Mother's Day, I want to say to all of the mothers everywhere, you are real. You are human. You make mistakes. You also triumph, just like all of us. Remember yourselves, and not just today. Remember that you are more than your role. Thank you for blessing your children. Remember to bless yourself as well. Thank you for listening to Daughters of Mormonism. I invite you to respond at daughtersofmormonism.blogspot.com. If you have ideas for future episodes or would like to be interviewed on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Thanks to Kevin McCloyd for the music.